Good morning, everyone. I'm Laura Keith King, and I'm your service leader today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Pensacola. We celebrate diversity, strive for justice, and strive to inspire love. We welcome all people, young and old, families and singles. We embrace varying spiritual, religious, and philosophical beliefs. We welcome all colors, cultures, abilities, sexual orientations, and gender identities of the human family. We believe that we are enriched by the diversity of our community.
Good morning. Our opening words this morning were written by Anonymous. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other.
I like it when people are cheering that we did well. Yeah. Please stand for the recitation of the covenant. Love is the spirit of this church and service its law. This is our covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. And now our very own Aaron Renfro will give us our message.
Our words for reflection today come from the Reverend Victoria Safford, from a lovely article I came across in the summer 2013 issue of UU World called Bound in Covenant. In the first weeks of my first ministry in an old New England congregation, a woman came to see me. Nearly 90 years old, she was a lifelong member of that church. Her parents had joined in the late 19th century. She didn't like change, she said. She wasn't sure that she liked me or what she called my point of view. Just remember, she said, I have outlived all of your predecessors, and I will probably outlive you. This woman was a dedicated political conservative in what had become a progressive community. She was a liberal Christian in a congregation that had known gracious eras of theological diversity and also some fits of intolerance. She'd worked for the U.S. State Department through three wars and for the American Unitarian Association through the merger with the Universalist Church of America. In this church of her childhood, which she'd never left, Most votes at most annual meetings had not gone her way for the past 40 years. She was no stranger to discord. In the end, she did outlive me there. She died shortly after I accepted a new call in another state, and I was saddened by the news. Over 10 years, we cultivated a fierce, respectful love for one another, and what I loved in her most was her commitment to that church, no matter what, her fidelity to it, the ferocity with which she paid her pledge every year, no matter how wayward the budget or insufferable, in her humble opinion, the sermons. She kept her covenant with that people, with their proud history and the bright promise of their future, and with the free faith tradition they embodied. I was a young minister then, and her way of being in relation, her integrity, taught me more about Unitarian Universalism than anything I had learned in seminary. So not long after I started coming to this church, which will be 5 years in November, the UUA was doing its promotion of the elevator speech. Some of you may remember that. Your elevator speech was supposed to be the quick, easy way to answer this question. What do Unitarian Universalists believe? Which I'm sure you've heard before. Now, what do y'all believe usually induces in me a state of slight panic, because the trick is to get everything explained before their eyes glaze over. They mentally tick the box, not saved, and nothing else penetrates. And in reading some of the responses in UU World at the time, the sentence that really struck me was, Unitarian Universalists are bound by covenant, not by creed. And as easy as this concept was, and as often as I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, it was new to me then, and it was sort of an oh moment for me. It was the first time I had really thought about the fact that we gather here on Sundays for a completely different reason than the Episcopalians I grew up with. We're not here because a deity has threatened us with eternal damnation if we don't show up on a weekly basis. We're not here because we have a shared set of spiritual beliefs. In the Episcopal Church, we recited the Nicene Creed every Sunday, a long list of things we believed that started with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible. If you're Episcopalian, you probably have that memorized until the end of your days. And it went to little nitpicky things about the nature of the Trinity and their theory of salvation. It literally was the creed that bound us. Now, I'd been coming to this church for a few months by then. I already loved it, and I was completely on board with what I was hearing. And of course, I was aware of the covenant that we recite every Sunday after the opening hymn. But I hadn't really considered what it meant in the bigger sense of the word. Up until then, when I thought of the word covenant, I thought of these things. The only two times I'd really ever heard the word in my life: God's covenant with Noah and the Homeowners Association. We all probably have that general sense that covenant is a different word than promise. I can stand here and promise you that I'm only going to yammer on for about 15 minutes, and nothing you do on your end has anything to do with whether I keep that promise or not. Covenant is different. It requires a meeting of the minds. It comes from the Latin convenire, which literally means coming together. It takes more than one person and more than one promise to have a covenant. So what does a covenant mean outside of this church? Those are the things I think about where there's a meeting of the mind. Wedding vows, pinky swear, and contracts, of course. There has to be more than one party to a contract. But what do Unitarian Universalists mean by covenant? This is something that took me a while to grasp, that covenant is more than those words we say every Sunday. It's more than just kind of a big idea in Unitarian Universalism. Covenant is Unitarian Universalism. It forms the theological and historical basis of our faith. And without covenant, there is no Unitarian Universalist denomination. So I again quote Reverend Safford, "We are bound by covenant, each to each and each to all, by what theologian Rebecca Parker calls freely chosen and life-sustaining interdependence. So how did Unitarian Universalists get to this understanding of covenant? I'm going to steal from the Tapestry of Faith curriculum. The early Puritans that came to America had a common creed, but in the spirit of a new kind of church that was not subject to the rigid and corruptible hierarchy of the church in Europe, and in a time and place that required cooperation and trust, they decided to form congregations based on the idea of covenant, mutual consent for mutual benefit. These early churches were not governed by what we now recognize as democratic means, and they were not diverse in either demographics or theology, but their core values of covenant and congregational polity carried through into our modern denomination. The Cambridge Platform of Church Discipline was written by the Puritans in 1648 in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In the American Creed, Forest Church paraphrases it this way: "We pledge to walk together in the ways of truth and affection as best we know them now, or may learn them in the days to come, that we and our children may be fulfilled, and that we may speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill." And this idea of covenant is so ingrained that about a third of the congregations that subscribed to this platform in 1648 are members of the UUA today. So to dig a little deeper into our understanding of covenant, we have three pillars of Unitarian Universalism. We have covenant, as opposed to creed, pluralism, as opposed to fundamentalism, and the idea that our faith is living, meaning that it is changeable. During the leadership course that I took, the statement, "Revelation is not sealed," came up again and again. So covenant is one of the pillars that defines our faith, and covenant exists whether or not we formally speak the words, whether or not a church even has a formal written covenant. Because to say that you are a Unitarian Universalist church, you are entering into covenant. Covenant is not static. We are never finished. It is a practice. It is something we renew and reaffirm and enter into over and over as we come together as individuals into a congregation and as we come together as a congregation into the greater faith. It ultimately begins with the self. What is my responsibility? What is my role in this covenant? But an individual cannot decide this alone. A covenant is, by definition, formed in the presence of and with the participation of other people. So here are the words of ours. Seek the truth, dwell together, help one another. It requires more than words. It requires action. It requires personal commitment. And what does this commitment to action look like in our church? It's welcoming the stranger. It's the loving work of the people who bake our treats, brew our coffee, wash the dishes afterward. It's the people who commit again and again to the future of the church by pledging or dropping a few of their hard-earned dollars into the offering basket. It's the members who guide the church's future by coming to congregational meetings and voting. It's those huge hearts who organize food and assistance for our congregation members in need. It's the brave and dedicated souls who volunteer their time and mental energy to the governance of the church. It's as simple as tossing your used cup into the trash can instead of leaving it on the table, and as complicated as heading up the yard sale or the auction, as easy as sharing your hymnal with the person next to you, and as difficult as serving a year as board president. We do this not because of what we as Unitarian Universalists believe, but because of what we believe in. So we as a congregation are facing some challenges lately. And one that we sort of face all the time, diversity. We celebrate it, but it can be a tough thing to do when you're talking about people who are making deep commitments to one another and to our existence as a church. Now, you look around and you don't think diversity is the first thing you think when you look at our congregation, but these are all ways that we are diverse. I know for a fact there aren't very many of us who were born and raised here. So Southern culture is still kind of new to some people. But down there at the bottom, I have in capital letters, Vision for you, UCP. It occurs to me that is possibly the greatest diversity we have in our congregation. I'm aware that in the past, before my time, this congregation has endured some pretty deep divisions over what kind of church we want to be. Are we primarily a place for spiritual nourishment and seeking? Or are we more inclined toward intellectual growth and ethical exploration? And where does our dedication to social justice fit in? These are big questions. We are a church in transition, and it's more than just going from a full-time settled minister to not having one. The number of active members we have places us among churches in a transitory area, churches that are either going from a pastor-centered organization to one centered around lay ministry teams, or back the other direction. According to Alice Mann in the In-Between Church, churches that lose a minister and are not able immediately to go into action to replace them may even suffer from problems with self-image and self-esteem. Are we really a church without a full-time settled minister? So we have a lot of visioning to do, a lot of self-examination as we look into our immediate future and decide who we are as a congregation and where we're headed. What is our why, and how is Covenant going to help us as we find our way? This will make your eyes glaze over. This is our organizational chart. And if you haven't served in governance, you may have never seen it before. And when you first look at it, it's a little confusing. But I mostly want you to pay attention to that little circle in the center that says Covenant and Mission. These two things are the heart of our why. Why we are here, what are we trying to do, and what do we believe in? The rest on the outside are kind of how we accomplish that. And you'll be hearing a lot more about our why in the weeks and months to come. Watch this space. So the mission gives us a focus, a direction to go in. The covenant is the container for that mission. To paraphrase the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray in this month's UU World, the covenant is the cup that holds our flame. So how can our covenant, the one that we say every Sunday, help us? Dwell together in peace, seek the truth in love, and to help one another. The first one is compassionate communication. The last thing we want to do is go around thinking that having a common mission and being bound by covenant means we get along all the time, or that we all think the same thing, especially about the questions we're facing as a church. We're going to disagree. We have disagreed in the past, and we will continue to disagree into the future. We are Unitarian Universalists. Wrestling with questions and uncertainties and dissent is the journey of an active faith life. The only sure way to avoid conflict is to not show up. But if we face the conflict, even if it's uncomfortable or unpleasant or scary, our covenant is there to help us make it a healthy process. Jeanalise Doren Adams in Radical Relationships says, our culture has prioritized autonomy and individuality. Part of covenant involves sometimes surrendering one's personal agenda to someone else or to something larger. This is part of healthy communications of a church, and it's pretty darn tricky because, again, we are Unitarian Universalists. Within our covenants, whether it's our congregational covenant or a covenant we have entered into as a member of the board or other ministry teams, we are committed to compassionate communication and right relations. And we have a couple of documents that explain what that is. But the main way I think that our covenant is going to help us is in its resilience and restorability. Covenant is not like a contract. In a contract, if one part of it is invalid, the whole thing falls apart, and it's done. It's over with. Covenant is a little bit stretchier than that. It's more resilient. And even when you say that the covenant has been broken, when we stray from compassionate communications or right relations, it can be put back together, perhaps even stronger than before. The poem by Rumi that our hymn paraphrases says, ours is not a caravan of despair. Come, even if you have broken your vows 1,000 times, come, yet again, come. This is the nature of a voluntary covenant. Yes, you can leave it, but you can also come back. Seeking the truth in love. First, we have to come to the table, participating in this process of finding our why and finding our way forward, making that why a reality, is part of being in covenant with this congregation. But so is coming back to the table. The Reverend Nancy Bowen said, coming back to the table is a spiritual practice. When we disagree, the covenant that we all serve compels us to look at each other not as enemy combatants, but as comrade in arms against a common challenge. I think of it like patriotism. In the perhaps mythical glory days of national governance, there was such a thing as the loyal opposition. Governing representatives could have vastly different visions of what success looked like and vastly different ideas of how to get there. But what never came into question was the patriotism of the people involved in legislative conflict. The conflict itself was indicative of the strength of that patriotism and the love of country. And so it is for us, except loyal opposition is called faithful dissent. Because we have entered into covenant with one another, wherever conflict takes us, we can rest assured that we are all acting in good faith, driven by the love of what we have here, by the enduring belief that this church needs to exist and work in the world, by our why. In conflict lies discomfort, yes, but also creativity. Striving to bring our differing visions into the one that is right for us births the potential for remarkable solutions and radical renewal. How many creation myths tell us that the universe was formed of darkness and chaos? The seed lies in darkness before it bursts forth. Helping one another. Some of our challenges these days have not to do with the philosophy or vision, but with the nuts and bolts of congregational life. When there is work that needs doing, from supervising the installation of a new air conditioner, to planning fundraisers or managing our trust or spiffing up our signage, we answer the call. And it's not because we all have so much time on our hands that we have nothing better to do. It's because we have made a covenantal commitment to this church and its mission and its well-being and to all those who came before us and all who will come after. We also have a part-time minister. She works her tail off to cover our needs, but there are times when she is simply not physically available to us. And the good news is we pledge every week to help one another. Pastoral care is as easy as a card, a visit, a casserole, a well-timed hug. The flip side of the covenant to help one another, though, is the promise to ask for help when you need it. The member who suffers alone denies the rest of us the chance to fulfill our covenant. Maybe this is just me, but when I have taken on a leadership role or a prominent role in organizing an event, I feel a huge sense of responsibility. Not only to the people here and now, but to those who came before, who put so much of their time and effort and money and talent into building what we have today. I also feel a responsibility to the future, to the next Aaron Renfro, who comes through those doors needing what this church has to offer. This church has been around for over 60 years, and I have a persistent terror that it's going to be my screw-up that brings it all crashing down. For what is by all standards a small congregation, we have high ambitions, so we always seem to be just a little bit short on the funds and human capital we need to do everything we want to do. And that can bring a sense of fragility that only sort of has a basis in reality. So sometimes it feels like even small failures could have huge consequences. I know Georgiana feels a strong sense of responsibility to meet the goals of the yard sale, and Kate and Lisa stress over the auction not being as successful as we hope, and Lauren and the board worry about being the leaders that the congregation needs. And the call that Reverend Alice answered was sort of a plan B when plan A didn't work out, and because we have a ministry that defies any attempt to tuck it neatly into a box, it can kind of feel like an ongoing experiment, one that we're sort of making up as we go along, and that can be a little scary for those of us tasked with making it work. So I think sometimes a lot of us kind of feel out on a limb, entrusted with the success of a fundraiser or being effective in our leadership position. And the consequences of failure can loom large over all these endeavors. But as I mentioned before, the fact that we have all freely and consciously entered into covenant with one another allows us the presumption of good faith. We know that everyone who undertakes one of these roles is doing so out of love of the church, a desire to serve, and the intent is always that their undertaking will move the church forward and toward fulfillment of our mission. We are bound by covenant to these brave souls to support them, as they are bound by covenant to ask for help when they need it. We are bound to congratulate their successes and also to lift them up when things don't go as planned. In this stretchy, resilient covenant, we give each other the gift of a safe place to land when we try something new, the gift of room to fail. And we welcome every effort on behalf of the church as sacred and valuable, no matter what side of the scoreboard it lands on. And last, we're not alone. In the deep south as we are, we can sometimes feel like a little church in the wilderness, a liberal congregation in the midst of a wasteland of conservative religion. But it depends on where you are. The last time I checked, Charlotte, North Carolina had at least 3 Unitarian Universalist churches in its metro area. In contrast, our congregation serves at least 3 counties that I know of. Sometimes it can feel like we're all alone out here, but we aren't. Not only are we individually in covenant with one another, we as a congregation are in covenant with the UUA, with the UUA Southern Region, and with every other Unitarian Universalist congregation around the world. So it's okay to admit that sometimes, as a church among churches, we're not always sure what to do next. It's okay, even encouraged, for us to ask for help answering some of these questions we're going to have. Though it seems recently the big gatherings and leadership events have been too geographically distant or lengthy in duration to make it practical for one of us to go, it's important to maintain our connections to other UUs and other churches, especially here in the South, where many of us are in the same boat of serving a very large geographical area all by ourselves. But being a free and independent congregation does not have to mean being a lonely congregation. I encourage you, in whatever role you have, even if your role is committed friend of the congregation, to take advantage of some of the upcoming webinars and online classes that we'll be publicizing. Read your UU World, and there are always a couple floating around here if you don't get it yourself, so you can be reminded that you are in covenant with a marvelous international denomination that is doing real good in this world. Remind yourself of the greater global why of Unitarian Universalism and how you are part of that as an individual and as a member of this local community. So back when the board members were doing announcements, I used to introduce myself as gratefully serving this congregation. And I realize now it's not just the congregation, because that's us last year. That's 10 years ago. Excuse me, that was 20 years ago, wasn't it? I can't do math. But the congregation changes. Even our mission changes as we evolve and adapt to changing times and changing needs. The one thing that does not change, that stretches back to the very founding of our denomination, is the covenant. When we serve more than just the church or the congregation, it is the mission and covenant that we serve. When I came to this church, I was looking for something that at the time I found hard to define. As an atheist, I resisted and even resented that something in me needed to feel like a part of something greater than myself. But here it is. I found it, and not only can I live with it, it fulfills me in ways I never dreamed were possible during my 2 decades of sleeping in on Sunday mornings. The covenant that binds us, the thing that is among us when we gather together on Sundays, almost palpable in the silences and stillnesses, when we lift our voices mostly together in song. It is in the dust on our fingers when we set up the yard sale, in the joyful chaos of putting the furniture back after a potluck, in the slightly glazed over second hour of a board meeting. It is that I was looking for. By being bound in covenant to you, to this church, in all its forms in the past and whatever form it takes in the future, to all Unitarian Universalists, putting our values to work in the world, I have found what I needed. That's something greater than myself, and I feel it down to my bones because it is real. In the coming year, we will be exploring our why as a way to map our way forward from where we are now. Make no mistake, there will be work involved. We will, as Congregational Renewal Consultant Michael Piazza says, need to take off the bib and put on the apron. We will need to move from the church is here for me to I am here for the church. But remember, in the challenge is renewal, and our covenantal relationship to one another is self-discovery. The Centered Leadership series talked about perchings and flight, moving from a settled state to an unsettled state. And there is nothing comfortable about unsettled, but flight is where all the interesting things happen. Thank you.